Welcome to the Not a Zonk edition of the Block Party for the week of October 13th, 2009. You can find me three ways. You have the link at the upper left, the iTunes feed, or the dedicated webpage at www.blockpartypodcast.com. We start this week with the biggest debut of a game show in 15 years. This would be Let's Make a Deal, which debuted on CBS on October 5th. This is the first non-syndicated daytime game show to debut since NBC's Caesar's Challenge left the air in January of 1994. Let's Make a Deal replaced Guiding Light after it was canceled last month. So, does Deal live up to its history and reputation? For the most part, it does. Wayne Brady of Don't Forget the Lyrics fame is the new host. He was hired by Monty Hall, who is on board as a consultant. After viewing a few episodes, you can tell he has the right type of chemistry between himself and the contestants. Like Hall, he is taking the right approach in that the contestants are the stars, not him. Jonathan Mangum takes over the announcer, Jay Stewart, role. Mangum and Brady's work together in Brady's Vegas show Making It Up, and that relationship translates well to this venue. Allison Fiore of Deal or No Deal is the spokesmodel du jour. The gameplay is pretty much what you've seen in past Deal shows, and it works. In a new twist we've only seen once, audience members have voted on a green or red box for a potential prize for the entire audience. This was a nice twist, and I hope to see it on more shows. But not everything is perfect in Deal Land. There are two elements that bother me. First, Mangum seems to treat losing prizes with a different emphasis than winning ones. It gives off a bad impression, if you ask me. His vocal tone shows a lackadaisical attitude for those prizes. During all the other versions, even the losing prizes copy was read with a happy tone. You want to give the audience something to drool over. That has to change. And we have to talk about the big deal. In this version, the big deal is now played by one trader, not two. Traders are given the opportunity to trade what they won for a shot at a big prize, which has ranged from a $21,000 cruise of the Orient to a $33,000 plus African safari. I understand there were probably budgetary constraints involved, but I don't like it. If you reduce the big deal to around $10,000 or $15,000, then maybe you could get two traders in there. It was an element of the show that people loved to see, and hopefully that can return. Overall, I am pleased with what the production team has done with Let's Make a Deal. They have a host who knows what he's doing and very good chemistry with everyone on air. They have games that work with some nice twists and elements they can work on to make the show even better. This deal makes the 2003 Billy Bush disaster a distant memory. Overall grade, B. Two other shows debuted last week as well. First up is Brain Surge, the first game show from Nickelodeon in almost a decade. Jeff Sutphin hosts this show, which takes six kids and puts them through various memory and visual challenges for prizes and the opportunity to be slimed. In round one, six kids compete in visual puzzles and challenges. The four highest scores move on and the lowest two go down the brain drain, which is a long slide out of an ear filled with gack. In round two, Jeff reads from Jeff's big book of super fantastic chronicles of truth that are absolutely true, and the four remaining kids have to remember facts and details from that story. If they get their question right, the chair they sit on doesn't make noise. If they don't, the chair becomes a whoopee cushion and they get blasted through a paper wall. The final two match visuals from the story until one misses and the other makes the match. The winner has 90 seconds to match light patterns in 4x4, 5x5, and 6x6 grids for various bonus prizes leading to a trip. Everything about this show works for me. The show is loud, noisy, and incredibly visual. Jeff is goofy and crazy without being too annoying. The kids, who are probably on TV for the first time, get to be a bit goofy and silly. There is your element of gross humor, including farts, belching, and poop jokes, but they're kept to a minimum. But the best part of this show is the gameplay. It's not original, but it's addicting as heck, and it's also, educational. It teaches memory and reading comprehension in a way that is fantastic. But don't tell your kids that. They'll be having way too much fun. This is not only a great return for Nickelodeon, this is one of the best new shows of 2009. This gives an A for me. It's fantastic. Check it out, DVR it. You got to see this show. Next, we have Pay It Off on Black Entertainment Television. Kim Coles from Living Single and In Living Color hosts this show where people with over $10,000 in debt answer questions in a series of games to pay off their debt and potentially get back in the black by winning $25,000. The contestant brings a bailout buddy to the audience to help them with a question. The show itself brings nothing new to the table, as the games in it are not new. But I do like the fact that the show isn't all or nothing. The contestants keep the money they earned no matter what level they bomb out on. But the biggest surprise, and it's a pleasant one, is Kim Coles. She's very competent as host. She brings a sense of empathy rarely seen in game shows. You can see she wants the contestants to get back on the road to financial solvency. You can do a heck of a lot worse here. You have a competent host, a relevant concept in this economic downturn, and successful execution. BET has a winner here, and my grade for this show is a B. Next, we have news on the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire front. According to multiple sources, Millionaire is removing the Phone a Friend lifeline. The three lifelines now are Ask the Audience, Double Dip, and Ask the Expert, which is now permanent. As someone who has been a fan of the show from the beginning, and of course I appeared on the show at $125,000, this is another boneheaded move from the Millionaire production team. Over the last 2 years, you have had moves such as The Clock, The Tournament of Ten, and now this. You're taking an element away from the show that makes the show what it was. Some people joke it's now become Phone a Google, but you're stripping its personal identity away. And in a recent phone conference to promote the Tournament of Ten, Meredith has confirmed the lifeline's demise in January of 2010. And the official reason was that, yes, too many people were using Google to get the answers and not using their own intelligence. Unfortunately, even with all that, I smell shark meat here and a Arthur Fonzarelli-like person jumping over it. This is just a bad move all around, and I just don't like it. Time for the Block Party Quick Hits. Poker Stars is launching Million Dollar Challenge on Fox on October 11th. Tom DeLay is withdrawing from Dancing with the Stars due to stress fractures in both of his feet. Debbie Mazar is leaving due to the fact that she didn't get any audience votes. Launch My Line, where 10 people compete to launch their own clothing line, is debuting on Bravo on December 2nd. And Bravo's host of Top Chef, Padma Lakshmi, is pregnant. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader is now on Verizon Wireless, and Millionaire is now an app for the Palm. On the UK front, ITV is signing a deal with Mattel to develop formats for them. BBC is picking up the bubble and renews Pointless for a second season, and Sell Me the Answer is going to Sky TV. In a recent interview with the Toronto Star, Monty Hall says he will appear on episode 100 of CBS's new Let's Make a Deal. He was supposed to appear on the premiere show but took ill, and that's well, being that he is 88 years old. In Price is Right charity news, Bob Barker makes a $3 million donation to the Intrepid Foundation, and Drew Carey is pledging $1 million to the Lance Armstrong Live Strong Foundation if he gets 1 million followers at his @DrewFromTV Twitter handle. The Next Iron Chef on Food Network is posting record ratings and was the highest series premiere in the network's history. Good for them. On the American Idol front, the charity concert Idol Gives Back is returning for 2010 after taking a year off this past year. The Biggest Loser Resort at Fitness Lodge in Ivins, Utah, is officially open for business. The Sun UK newspaper is partnering with Fremantle Media for a live pay-to-play internet game show, which launched this week. As reported last week here on the Block Party Podcast, Fox has now officially confirmed the pickup of the UK sensation The Cube from ITV to appear in 2010, and the recent Samoan earthquake rocked the set of the Samoan Survivor, and everyone is okay on that one. That's all for this time around. This is Jason Block for the Block Party Podcast reminding you. You can find me at twitter.com/beattheblock. And don't just play fair, play to win. Block Party Podcast is a production of GameShowNewsNet.com, copyright 2009. My recording engineer is Ivy Reisner. The opinions expressed in the Block Party Podcast do not necessarily reflect those opinions held by GameShowNewsNet.com as a whole. Some of the music provided for today's podcast was provided by the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com.